Thank you for joining us tonight. We're glad that you chose to be with us for this time of midweek service and worship. And Grace, could you get me the stand over there? So we appreciate, thank you, Grace, for that awesome song. That's one of my favorite hymns, and I know for many of you it also is one of your favorites. And I appreciate the power in it and the joy in it, the theology in it, and I hope that you have been worshiping with us. Also want to thank those of us who are in the room. We have five people here tonight. Myself, Grace, as you know, was playing and leading us. Nolan Fleischman takes care of all of our computer electronics and sound. And Lisa Smith is doing the PowerPoint. And Ron Smith is providing prayer support and security here in our building. So there's four of us here tonight. But we are with you, and that's what's important to us. We are so glad that you have chosen to tune in with us. And you may be coming to us from, you may have never been in this building. And so you're here with us tonight. And we know, as we said last Sunday, there are people literally from Europe and Asia and all over the United States at different places watching and listening with us. And we're really glad that you chose to be with us tonight. We've been praying for those who write in. So what we want you to do, we'll say this probably every time, if you want to just tell us how we can pray for you, tell us that you tuned in tonight and that you were with us, we can see how many people are actually, how many devices are watching, but we don't know who those people are, and we don't know how many are there, and how many doesn't really matter. But what matters is you. You have chosen to be with us. So let us know that you're with us. You can send an email to office@newlifeindavy.com, or just go to our website and you can do it that way. Let us know you're here, and let us know how to pray for you. We've had some great prayer requests that we take as long as it takes for us to go through all of them and pray for each person who has asked us to pray, and we want to do that for you. Maybe you were invited to be with us tonight by somebody, and this is the first time you've ever been with us. Welcome to you, and we do know of people that have been invited, and you came. You're with us because you chose to be with us tonight, and we're really glad you did, and we hope the Lord speaks to you in a great way. Usually we would have testimonies here on Wednesday night, and people just pop up and share what God's doing in their life, opportunities that they've had to reach out, and we can't do that obviously now, but you can share your testimony with us the same way through office@newlifeindavy.com, and we would like to hear your testimony. What is God doing in your life? I was talking with somebody on our in our membership today, and they were just telling me what God's doing in their life and how they're God's speaking to them and working in their life and the honesty of it all. And I really appreciated that. This is a time for sharing. So tonight we're going to be looking at the book of Hebrews, and I hope you'll turn in there in your Bibles with me, and a couple places in Hebrews, and we will look at that. I see a lot of activity in the back. Are we still on? We good? Okay. One thing that's cool is that we've been doing this for 3 or 4 weeks now, and we haven't gone offline yet, so that's really neat. Again, thanks to our tech people that are taking care of that. Okay, so I want to talk to you tonight about how to keep from drifting while we are apart. How do we keep from drifting while we are apart? I think all of us probably feel sometimes a tendency to drift in our faith, or to drift from the church, or to drift from the anchor of our lives, and we really need to know how to avoid that. Especially right now, we need to know how to avoid that. This is an unprecedented time. It is still very strange to me that I walk around in this building and my voice echoes everywhere, even in the halls, and there's no people making noise and no children running up and down the halls, and I look at these empty rooms and it's just strange to me. And yet, God's grace has been extended, because now as I sit here, it's an unusual experience for me to look out and be staring at a camera and knowing, and I can picture you, I can picture people that are watching and considering and singing, and it's an unusual time. And unusual times, as we've been saying, and we'll keep saying this, unusual times lead to unusual opportunities. And so we have an opportunity tonight to look into God's Word. I'm not going to study the first chapter of Hebrews. I'm going to look more at the second chapter. But the context of the whole book of Hebrews is Jesus. That's safe. And Jesus is better. The ladies' Bible study is in a study when we return, when you all come back. And some of them are going to be getting together even now to continue that study. But it's about Jesus and that he's better. And this is what it says, in just for a context, in chapter 1. In verse 1, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers, in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he, Jesus, is the radiance of the glory, of his glory, and he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. And he, Jesus, upholds all things by the word of his power. And when he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Powerful, rich words about our Lord Jesus Christ. And then if you keep reading that chapter, he spends a fair amount of time describing how Jesus is better, specifically than the angels. Namely, that he fulfilled prophecy and he sacrificed for our redemption, leading to our salvation from condemnation and entry into eternal life. And that is important because you can't miss eternal life. You can't miss it. You can't miss spending eternity with God, having been completely and totally forgiven of all sin and made ready for heaven, not by our works, but by the blood of Christ, to be justified, to be able to enter into his presence and his perfection. So Christianity is not just some set of moral standards and helpful hints for living. No, eternity is at stake when it comes to our faith. Being right with God is what this is all about. And Jesus is the one who came to reconcile us to God, to save us. That's a biblical word. That's not just something people say in the Bible Belt. He came to save us from our sin and save us unto eternal life. And then we know that that comes by faith, by trusting in what Christ has done. He has saved us based on a faith that he grants to us, and we exhibit that faith toward him. It's not by our performance, it's not by our works, it is what Christ has done and our trust in him for that. And so the sign of somebody truly being saved, the sign of salvation, is that they remain in faith. They remain in trust of the Lord Jesus Christ, even all the way to the end of their life. We don't work our way into heaven, but we do believe our way into heaven. And so we want to make sure that we remain in him. And this is the work of God. He keeps us, something we call the perseverance of the saints. Our eternal security is something that God does to hold us and keep us in the faith. And it's also the sign that we have been truly born again, if we remain in the faith. It doesn't mean we live a perfect life. It doesn't mean that at times our faith may falter and be weak, and we have to say, oh God, I believe, but help my unbelief. He understands all of that. But he has kept us in faith. And to be sure that God's work of saving us and keeping us is secure. But there is a human perspective to this. There's a human experience of this, if you will, where we must remain and not fall away. If we can fall away and stay away, then it only proves we were never in his family to start with. Let me say that again. If we can fall away and stay away, then that proves that we were never in the faith to start with. That's what 1 John 2:19 says. They went out from us. They left us. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they were not really of us. Now we know, and maybe you know, maybe in your own life, you've experienced a falling away, but God's powerful grip of grace on your life, even though you may have gone into some really difficult things, some sin that you're ashamed of now, and you look back and you say, God had hold of my life and he drew me back. I was his child and he pulled me back into the faith, and it proved that I was his. But if somebody can leave, and that's what should concern someone, if they can leave the faith, if they can walk away from God, You don't know. Is it going to stay that way? And so the writer of Hebrews says, you got to be careful that you don't drift away from the faith. You don't keep yourself, but you don't want to drift. And so there's a reality of remaining, but for those who fall away from the faith in Christ. And the reality of Jesus being better than anything in saving our souls is the message of Hebrews and really the whole Bible. And so we come now to chapter 2 of Hebrews, and this is what it says. For this reason, because Jesus is better, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. There's a danger of drifting. And the writer of Hebrews says the remedy to that danger of drifting is that we pay attention. We pay much closer attention. What? We pay attention to our salvation. For verse 2 says, for if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and even transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If you neglect salvation, if you turn away salvation, how are you going to escape? It is what holds us in the faith, in a relationship with God, is our salvation. So if we lose interest in that salvation, if we stop appreciating who Christ is and what he has done for us, then we begin to neglect our salvation and we drift. We drift. And so many verses warn us of this. This is a warning. And so at a time like this in the church, when we are not being stimulated by the fellowship, we have to be doubly careful about this. And so really, as I was thinking about this, even right from the start, when I realized, oh my goodness, we're not going to be able to meet. The only other time we've not been able to meet is when there was a hurricane. And we knew that that wasn't going to last long. I think the longest we couldn't meet as a church was 2 Sundays because we were in the public elementary school and they wouldn't let us meet and everything was tore up around here. So I think there was 2 Sundays that we didn't meet. But we knew that was temporary. We knew that wasn't going to last long. When I realized that we weren't going to be able to meet, and then they started talking about weeks, I thought, oh my goodness, this is serious. We need to talk about this because there's always a tendency to drift. And so there's another tendency for those who love God and are cemented in their faith and they've grown in their faith, they will also tend to long for the fellowship, to long for the worship times, to long to be together in fellowship. And sometimes we don't really appreciate that until we don't have it. And so the question to you tonight and to all of us, I think, is this. In this time of separation, are you going to drift or are you going to long? Are you going to move away from the faith or are you going to be developing a desire that gets stronger and stronger every week that we don't get to be together? Or is it going to cause you to take some action to avoid that drift? And that's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about how to avoid the drift, because there's a tendency of our humanness, our sinfulness, our independence to start to drift. And so we don't want to do that. So let's think about those things as we look at several ways that we can stay in the strength of our faith. And one of the ways God in his grace has kept us from drifting and neglecting is the gift of the church, the body of Christ, the fellowship. Listen, you cannot function as a Christian without the church. That's a strong statement, but I believe it with all my heart. You cannot function as a Christian without the church. God made us that way. Now, some people think they can, and they're independent in their approach to God, and they say, I don't really need the church. I'm not really into organized religion. That's the way we hear about it said sometimes. But it's interesting is that the Bible is written, the New Testament specifically, is written to the church that meets at Ephesus, to the church that meets at Philippi. There's a few books written to individuals, but they're individuals within the church. So God has created the church to hold us and to keep us. My dad used to always say, as a pastor for 28 years, he would say, the church carries people. And it does. And so we don't function without the church. We need the rest of the body. My hand, the church is called a body. My hand will not function apart from my body. It can't. And so these days, these coronavirus days, if you will, our connection with the church has been challenged. It's been unusually challenged. And what was easy for us to do before, if we chose to be together, has been temporarily suspended. And what does that mean? That means that unless we work to overcome that separation can cause us to drift, and that drifting can have a terrible effect on us. Just like if you take a coal, if you've ever made a fire with a bunch of coals, charcoal, and you take one of those coals and you remove it and put it off to the side, what will happen to that coal? It will go cold. But when it's together with the other coals on the fire, it creates a productive heat and something warm or able to cook with. But if you remove a coal, that's what's going to happen to us. So there are many illustrations of this. But Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, if we fast forward 10 chapters, or 9 chapters from chapter 2, we find we use this verse a lot, but I want you to think about it in terms of what I'm saying right now. Hebrews chapter 10, let me just read the text. Verse 19 and following, it says, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, this is all about Jesus again, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with a pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, without drifting. For he who promised is faithful. God's going to keep his promise. And then he issues a challenge. And let us think about how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. How do we stimulate one another to love and good deeds? You see, that's the body of Christ functioning together. We stimulate one another. If you're separated from the body, you can't be stimulated. You can't warm up. Verse 25 is the verse that we quote a lot about coming to church. Okay, why it's so important to come to church? Why? Or what is the command from God? Do you have to go to church? I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Well, according to the Bible, you do. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We're supposed to stimulate one another. How are we going to do that? Well, the way we're going to avoid not doing it is by not forsaking or pulling away, not fellowshipping with the body when it meets, being a lone ranger Christian, so to speak, not forsaking our assembling, getting together. And then he adds in there, as is the habit of some. Apparently, even in the first century, there was a problem with people not showing up for worship and being part of the church. Not just not coming to church, but not being a part of the fellowship. And this is how we encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. So when we are meeting in this room, and if you're a part of another church and you're just tuning in tonight, when you go to your church, if you go to a good Bible-teaching church, just by being there, you are encouraging the fellowship. Because when I see other people here, then I'm encouraged. If I tend to come to church, casually, maybe once a month, once every 3 weeks, and I come and I see the same person here every time I'm here, I begin to think even subconsciously, they're always here, and I'm only here once or twice a month. They must be here all the time. Hello? And that motivation, that challenge says, man, maybe I need to take a stronger look at this. Just by being here, we encourage one another. And in a practical sense, that's how we do that, the assembling together. Did you know that when you are in the presence of other Christians, worshiping, singing, praying, fellowshipping, by nature of just doing those things, you're stimulating one another to love and good deeds. Now, there's a deeper side to that where we're actually involved in each other's lives, and I believe there's no substitute for that. We can't just be satisfied just to come sit in church, say, well, I came to church, so I must be helping the church. No, that's part of it, but it goes deeper than that. And we do this directly. And that is why this temporary form of worship through electronics and the internet is only second best. This is not the real fellowship of the church. So we need to recognize that even as we're meeting. It's interesting that I've been told across, and many of the fellow pastors that I are friends with, they've all kind of said the same thing. Hey, this is going great. We're having live streaming, and we have more people coming in the live stream than we do on Sunday morning. And that's encouraging that people actually did this. And we were encouraged. And we know that some of that is some of you who will never come to our church because you don't even live in this country or in this state. And that's great. We're so glad you're with us. But there are some, though, that would just use this as a convenience factor. And we need to pay attention to that. So if that's who you are, you might need to be thinking a little stronger about being with us corporately when we're meeting together. I heard recently of somebody who said, I've never been to New Life Baptist Church, but I've been watching online, and now when they start meeting, I'm going to be there. Praise God. Do that. Follow through with that thought. Don't miss that, because this, what we're doing right now, is only second best. It is wonderful that we can do it, but it's not how it should be. And so, unusual times present unusual opportunities. And the opportunity that we're facing right now is to develop some new habits. For some of you, that new habit may be actually physically showing up at church. But for others, it may be other things as well. Unusual opportunities produce and give us the opportunity for give us unusual opportunities, and you can develop new habits just by the sheer crisis of everything. Let me tell you a good example of that. I already mentioned hurricanes, but Hurricane Andrew came in 1992, and after that, there was a long period of time when there were any major hurricanes, or if there were, it didn't affect us too much. And so everybody in South Florida got lazy. People moved into homes, didn't know how to put up their shutters. Nobody thought through all that, because year after year would go by and we didn't have another hurricane. And so we began to drift, if you will, from our preparations. And then a little hurricane called Wilma came. In 2004, I believe, and it woke everybody up. We didn't think it was going to be a big hurricane, and it was like, wow, this is serious business. And so right after that, we became Hurricane Alley for a few years. I mean, in 2004, in 2005, we had Dennis, 2005, we had Wilma, and we had other hurricanes getting close to us. And all of a sudden, because of the crisis, everybody got good at putting up their shutters. Everybody got good at preparing for a hurricane. The crisis created new habits that prepared us for the next one. And then Hurricane Irma comes in 2017, another 12 years later. So some weren't ready, but some people had developed some new habits and they were ready. So I just use that as an illustration to say that during this time, we can develop some new habits. And we don't want to just wait for this just to be over. You know, and that's a tendency. It's a temptation to say, I'm just going to take a nap until this whole thing is over. I'm just going to veg and binge watch TV shows and movies and all that and just wait for this to be over. And hopefully I won't get sick and my family will be okay. And then we'll just go on with our lives. Let me tell you something. That would be a huge mistake. This is an opportunity. The unusualness of it all, the crisis of it all. God wants to inject Romans 8:28 into your life. All things work together for good to them that love God. And all things would include this horrible virus that we're dealing with, this result of the fall, this thing that is, you know, lurking at the door of everybody on the planet. What an opportunity we have to develop some new habits. So what could those be? What could be some of those goals? See, we don't want to just wait for it to be over. We want to end up on the other end of this better, more sanctified, more biblically minded, more able to function in the body and to serve in the body, having actually accomplished something in our lives during this time where you could look back and say, that was hard, but we got this done. I've developed a new thought, a new habit, a new mindset, and it was actually a productive time for me. And some of that is just a heightened awareness of the need for each other. That's probably one of the biggest ones because we're not together. And we develop that longing rather than drifting. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I've heard it over and over again in our church. People talking about how they miss everybody and they wish they could be together, especially our older folks who can't get out as much as maybe some of the younger ones. They tend to be super careful, and they should be, and we all should be. But we've been at this long enough now where it's going to show up. We're either drifting or we're longing. I just want to ask you right now, as you think about your own life, are you drifting or are you longing? Are you drifting? Are you longing? So this is the time, and it's going to make us long for being together if we know him. So let me give you four things that I think will help in making the most of this time and become better, to develop some habits, to see God working in your life and not drifting. Here's the first one. It's very simple, okay? You would even expect me to say this. The first one is to stay in the Word, in the Bible, and share it with others. Now, you would expect me to say, stay in the Word. Keep reading your Bibles. Of course, we need to do that. We need to be fed. You're not here letting that happen. Now, you are here right now, but we need to stay in the Word. Now, we would do that whether there was a virus or not. Stay in the Word. But the thing I'm adding to that as the discipline is this. Share it with others. Christians should talk about spiritual things. One of the greatest ways that you can encourage the church is to, as you've read the Bible and maybe something came out and stuck out to you or really jumped out and it really spoke to you, ministered to you, convicted you, whatever, is to actually share that with others. So, you know, usually when we get together at church, we have to be careful. We can just talk about other things instead of saying, you know, I was reading in the Bible last week about whatever it is you were reading, and you say, can I just share that with you? Or it just a spiritual conversation. I was out here on the property yesterday, and our maintenance guy, Dale Smith, came up, and we were talking about something that needed to be done, and it started a spiritual conversation of something that God was teaching him in the midst of all this, and I just sat there and took it in, and it was so good. I was like, wow, I need to even take notes on this guy. I mean, it was fantastic. And he was just sharing with me what God was doing in his life and what he was reading in the Bible and something he had watched online of Tony Evans, a great preacher, that he had been saying about the situation in somebody else had recommended that to me. And so I took a mental note and I said, that's the second person that's mentioned that talk to me. I'm going to go find it and I'm going to watch it. See, that's stimulating me. That's helping me. And he's taking the Word of God and sharing, and verses were just peppered all through his conversation with me. And I appreciate that, Dale, and I hope he's listening to hear that word of encouragement. Another example of this, and this is kind of going to be the bulk, really, of our Bible teaching time right now, is some of the young adult men in our church, some of the young adult guys, put together a video. And it was just a way to encourage the church. And I was so encouraged by it to see, hey, these young guys are taking seriously the stimulation of each other in the Word of God, sharing what God's doing, giving a challenge or giving a word of encouragement, and they wanted whoever would listen to it to or watch it to do it. So what I want to do is I want to switch over to that video, and of all three of these guys, Toby, Julian, and Noah, some call them the Brochachos, and these guys are just sharing from their heart what God's doing in their life. And I want to use this as an example. Now, you're going to get some Bible teaching from this, okay? So just prepare yourself. You're getting ready to dive into the Bible. But you're also going to get an example of the the passion and the enthusiasm for meeting together, sharing the word, encouraging the church. And I think this is a great example of what I'm talking about. So this number one will be the longest one. Two, three, and four are going to be very short after they're done. But I hope that you'll listen prayerfully to these guys as they encourage us in the word.
Hello, New Life family. It's Noah. Noah Nevels. That's the one. Man, I miss you guys. It's so good to see you. Wow, I can't see you. You guys can see me. That's about as good as we're going to be able to do right now. I just wanted to apply Pastor Zach's sermon of this last Sunday in using technology to reach out to our fellow brothers and sisters, do what we can to bridge those gaps we're feeling. I got to be honest, I miss you all. I miss seeing everybody on Sunday, fellowshipping with the body. And if you're like me, you're starting to feel a little bored. So we wanted to do what we could to reach out with words of encouragement, with scripture, and just relate to you, see if we can sort of feel more connected as we're not meeting together, and just do what we can with technology to be together and to still minister to one another. I keep saying we. I'm not using the royal we. I'm joined by two of my good friends. I hope they're your friends too. Toby Janadu.
What's up, guys?
Julian Gomez.
Hey, what's up, guys?
That's how you pronounce Gomez, right?
That's right. You got it.
Okay, cool. It's a difficult name, but I'm working on it. So we just wanted to share with you guys some words from the scripture that God has been using to help us in this time. And I don't know. Hopefully you guys like it. We're calling this, we named our channel the New Life Bunker Tapes.
That's right.
So this is installment number one. We'll see if there's any more. You know, we produce, you receive, you decide. Let us know what you guys think. We love you.
So one thing that God's been teaching me with this whole quarantine / lockdown situation, my schedule has been opened up. I don't have to go and study anymore because my exam got canceled. So that opened up at least 2 hours. And the gyms are closed, so my workouts are no longer whatever time it was, but much shorter. And now I have a lot more time to myself. So in the midst of all this panic and uncertainty that's been going on in our society, it's easy to get carried away with all the news and the different positions. You've got experts on one side who are very optimistic, experts on the other side who are very pessimistic. And I found a lot of comfort in this passage in Isaiah 30, verse 15. And it's a time during Israel where it's a prophecy for what's to come. And in the midst of affliction and suffering, a lot of fear and anxiety from enemies, they want to flee and they want to trust in another nation. They want to go and put their trust in something else, someone else other than the Lord himself. And God's message to them in this moment is to not do that. And he says in Isaiah 30, "For thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest you will be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you are not willing." And I think in this time of a lot of panic, it's important for us to use the time that has opened up in our schedules to find our rest in the Lord, and to use that time to spend it looking into his word, studying his word, and spending time in prayer, getting closer to him, because it is a gift. Instead of being bored and kind of resenting this whole situation, being bitter about it, we can find our rest in him. And we can, instead of being afraid and being anxious about the situation, we can trust in the Lord. And it says, in quietness and trust is your strength. And that should pour out into our conversations as well. I had a conversation with my mom, and she was talking about how, oh man, you know, we're not even over this virus situation, and they're talking about the economy and how to bounce back on the economy. But because I had been spending my week kind of informed and looking on Google and taking different articles and reading them, I was kind of mixed into that situation. And I tried to respond and kind of justify reasons for looking into the economy or whatever, but in that moment and in that opportunity, in that conversation, it would have been so much more fruitful to, instead of pointing her and giving her a reason in the economy or in politics or in government, giving her a reason to trust the Lord and to be at peace, to point her to Christ. And so with that, I am longing to see you guys again, to gather again and at the church and worship together and sing. I'm looking forward to that. I hope that this will soon pass.
So something I've been really focusing on is trying to fight this kind of apathetic attitude towards my tasks, my responsibilities. So I'm really trying to be diligent. And some verses that remind me of that are 1 Corinthians 10:31 and Colossians 3:17. So 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So I think it's important, especially now, as I mentioned, it's very easy to just be apathetic about everything. But especially now, I want to be diligent in the tasks that God has given me, and I want to do it for his glory. I need these reminders, these verses to help me see that I'm not just doing this for the appeasement of myself or any common man. This is for the glory of God. And, you know, just to add on to that, another thing we can do, even more so to glorify God, is to redeem the time. So I'm going to share a verse with you guys. Ephesians 5:16 talks about this. So Ephesians 5:16 says, it talks about making the best use of the time because the days are evil. And indeed, these days are evil. So one of the things that I believe is important for all of us to do is to spend this time wisely, especially because you're home with your family. And not all of your family members may be saved. So this is an opportune time to really, you know, dig deep and share the gospel with them. Share the message of Jesus Christ. Let them know that Jesus Christ can forgive them of their sins, and they can receive that free gift of salvation through genuine faith in him. I know it can be a tough thing to do, and I know we can sometimes be timid, but we know, as we see in the Bible, God hasn't given us a spirit of timidity. And we also know that we are not to be ashamed of the gospel. Let us, so I we should all be bold. I pray that and encourage you all to be bold in the proclamation of the gospel, knowing that it is the power of God for all to receive salvation. So your family members who may not know Christ, may not ever know Christ, but think about it like this: if they have you are that means of God's grace through which the gospel can be shared and they can hear and believe. So be mindful, be urgent. And this is what I have to share with you guys, and I hope it was edifying, encouraging. Love all of you. Really miss you guys. Miss the fellowship of my fellow brothers and sisters in the faith, and I can't wait to see you all again.
All right, guys, so a couple things I wanted to share with you. Old Testament first. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, it says, cast your bread on the surface of the waters, for you will find it after many days. Divide your portion to 7 or even to 8, for you do not know what misfortune may occur on the earth. When I came across this just earlier today, especially verse 2 there, really stood out to me about where we are right now. It says, you do not know what misfortune may occur on the earth. I think we can all relate to that feeling. None of us could have predicted where we are right now. And yet verse 1 is saying, cast your bread on the surface of the waters, for you will find it after many days. I think this is a principle that we see Jesus living out and commanding us to imitate him in. And it is, give of yourself, offer yourself to God, offer yourself to others as Jesus did. Don't look to yourself only. Don't be inwardly focused. Look at how you can trust God to take care of you while you are seeking his things first. Seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added unto you. And Jesus said, if the sparrows are so closely watched by our Lord, how much more are we provided for by him? So I just wanted to encourage us in this time when everyone in the world, everything in the media is saying to look to yourself, shore up your own interests, bunker down, stay low, stay out of harm's way. I want to encourage us to be thinking like Christ always thought, and how Scripture encourages us to think, which is to look for ways to minister to one another. First of all, those in your care, your family, loved ones, whatever that may be. And secondly, your church family. Reach out. Look for how you can find out what the needs are, especially those who may be more susceptible to this and are very isolated. Think about how you can reach out to them and see if they need anything, or just talk to them. Also, I wanted to say something about thankfulness. So I have three quick passages from the New Testament I wanted to hit on. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verses 16 through 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I think no comment necessary. That's what we need to do, though. We need to be rejoicing, in everything giving thanks, even in a time like this. So there was a comment. Romans 1, verse 21 says, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. That's how the unbelievers live. The unbelievers know God after a fashion and yet don't give thanks. We are to be the ones that give thanks. And lastly, Colossians 1, verses 9 through wherever the Spirit leads. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. That's that verse 12 that I want to focus on here, giving thanks to the Father. This is a prayer, a passage that Pastor encouraged us to pray for him. He said that he loves to know that people are praying this for him. And I just want you all to know I'm praying this for each of you. I desire this for myself. Please pray this for me. Please pray that I would be walking in a manner worthy of the Lord and that I would give thanks to the Father for what he's done by giving us an inheritance in the saints in light. That's what I have for you. Cast your bread on the waters. Be thankful. These are crazy times, but we can still honor God. He's with us. Miss you guys. See you soon, Lord willing.
Okay, awesome. Thank you guys for sharing the word. And I just thought that was a great example of what I'm talking about. And there were so many great nuggets in there that they shared. You might even want to go back and watch that again and just kind of pick up maybe something stuck out to you. I think if you just go on YouTube and search New Life Bunker Tapes, it'll pop up. So thank you, guys. Wonderful enthusiasm there. I did not ask them to do that. That was just flowing out of their desire to follow through on the things we've already been talking about. So the first thing is to stay in the Word and share it with others. The second thing I want to share with you is just about Bible memory, memorizing the Word. Not just stay in the Word, but actually memorize the Word. This is a new habit that you could get in that would be helpful to you in your faith. Maybe you used to memorize the Bible and you've stopped, or you never have before. This is all new to you. I just want to encourage you to do it. And just as there are many helps for this, one of them is I put together a scripture memory sheet for issues related to what we've already been preaching here at New Life. A lot of things here on fear and not fearing, about the antidote to fear from 2 Chronicles, you know, from Hezekiah and Jehoshaphat and those guys, things like where they were standing against this great army, and he said, we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. What a great truth to have burned into your brain so that you can pull it up whenever you want. It won't just be, now what was that verse the pastor talked about? It was something about eyes on God. You know, how much better when it's in your mind. And we're going to have the time possibly to, let me just issue a challenge. I mean, it may seem incredibly radical, but if you were to take this sheet and start working through it over the next few weeks, you could memorize all these verses on fear and trust and the confidence that we have in God. Now, you may say, well, I already know some of those verses, like Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, thank you, Noah, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Do we not need a guard in our hearts to combat the fear? Where does that come from? It comes from trusting God by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. And you have these verses burned in your mind. You say, I already know those. Great. You have them memorized? Awesome. Now you've got them so you can share them with somebody else. What a thing to share. You're on the phone with somebody, and you just quote this verse that comes out of your mind and out of your mouth to somebody else that needs to hear it. So just in a word of encouragement for memorize. Today we have so many wonderful opportunities to learn how to learn Scripture or to memorize anything. When I used to memorize Scripture with my... I had a method, and this is how I do it, is that I write down the first letter of every word in a verse, and I just put that on a piece of paper after I've read it several times, and then I start trying to fill in the gaps. Well, I found this app a few years ago that does that, so it's really cool, like John 3:16. If you were learning John 3:16, and I go in here to, you can't see this, but it puts the first letter of every word on the screen. And then I can start filling it in. And if I don't know the word, it'll give it to me by just me hitting a button. Next word.
For. The. So. Love. The. World. That.
So you can just, you can use it to prompt you and to help you learn. There's some fun ways to learn Scripture. A great thing you could do as a family and in your family times, just reading through this page. You can get this page. There was an email sent to most of you. There's a link that you can download the Scripture memory sheet that I've created. If you did not get that email, all you got to do is write to Judy at office@newlifeanddavy.com, office@newlifeanddavy.com, and she will be glad to send it to you. So memorizing the Bible, new habit. Just like putting up your shutters for a hurricane, new habit that comes as a result of a crisis. The third thing I just want to encourage you to do is sing the word. Sing. There's so many resources now for singing. What an important thing to be singing, making melody in your heart that lifts your spirit in all this oppression. And if you're only watching the news and you're not singing, you're going to be sick. And I don't mean virus sick. I mean you're going to be emotionally sick. You're going to be mentally sick if you only take in all this negative word. So we need to be singing. Finally, and it was said so beautifully by the guys, is to minister to each other. Minister to each other. And I'm going to say it this way. Any way you can. Minister any way you can. It does my heart good. All the elders were so encouraged to hear over and over people that are calling each other, looking in, checking on each other. I just talked to somebody today, one of our deacons who has a major breathing issue, Jim Cole. You guys know Jim. Jim cannot get out. He cannot. It would be very hard on him to get sick. And there were two people in our congregation that were running out and doing shopping for Jim and Linda and bringing the groceries and the meds and whatever they were getting to their house and dropping it off for him. That's the kind of stuff that we need to be doing for each other and ministering to each other. And not only that, but reaching out to others. My wife and I sat in the driveway of our house last night because everybody seems to be out around dark. There were people going up and down the street, and we were meeting people we've never met before. One particular couple we met, and I'm embarrassed to tell you this. I'll just tell this on myself. We're trying to be friendly, you know, and sometimes you get it right and sometimes you don't. They lived around the corner, but we had never met them. And I said, hey, what's your name? We know we're 10 feet apart at least. And I said, what's your name? And she told me her name, and then his name was Axel. Axel was his name. And I said... I can't believe I did this. I said, oh, you mean like axle grease? Terrible. But they didn't run away. We had a great conversation. You're not going to get it right every time, but God's going to bless your efforts as you reach out and minister to other people. And I hope that you'll be doing that. One of the brothers already shared it, but Ephesians 5, I'm going to end on this. Ephesians 5, but all things become visible when they're exposed by the light. Everything that becomes visible is light. And for this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Are you asleep? Arise from the dead. Put your faith in Christ. If he's calling you to himself, put your faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. You will be raised from the dead spiritually. Your deadness will be turned into life, and you will be recreated for the image of God, and Christ will shine on you. God will do a work in your life. And then he says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time. Don't drift, because the days are evil. Well, thank you for listening tonight. We look forward to Sunday again. We hope you'll be back with us for a Sunday school class at 9 o'clock. If you need a link to that, if you're not already part of a class, you can, again, write to the office. You'll get the link. And also, we'll see you here at 10:30, Palm Sunday. John Rabe's going to be preaching. It's going to be great. I hope that you're ready for that. And then we'll be giving you more information, hopefully by the end of the week, about what we're going to do about Easter and Good Friday and all of those things. So we're getting ready to meet to pray. Those who are in the room, they're going to come up here to the front. And while we turn the music and the announcements back on, but we're going to be praying for you right now in light of what you've heard, that God would do a great work in your heart, that you won't drift, that you'll long, and God will help you make the most of your time. God bless you. We'll see you on Sunday.